Hearings opened into Northwest Energy's proposal to purchase 11 Montana hydroelectric dams. That's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. Good evening, I'm Corin Cates-Carney.
And I'm Conrad Scheid. A judge rebuffs the Montana Senate Majority Leader's move to dismiss charges his campaign accepted illegal contributions. And Flathead reporter Katrin Fry brings us up to speed on a project to restore genetically pure West Slope cutthroat trout to Northwest Montana.
Northwestern Energy Vice President John Hines is urging the Public Service Commission to approve his company's $900 million purchase of 11 hydroelectric dams in Montana. Hines is the first of 18 people scheduled to testify in the PCS hearing on whether the deal is in the public interest. He says Northwestern has a great need for energy, and buying the dams would provide stable electricity bills for consumers in the future. Bob Nelson of the Montana Consumer Council says that while stable rates are a worthy goal, the costs predicted by Northwestern might be too optimistic. Northwestern announced the deal with current owner PPL Montana last year. PSC must give its approval for the sale to move forward. PSC has set aside 2 weeks for the hearing.
In other news from around the state, Democrat John Lewis is heating up Montana's U.S. House race by proposing a cooling-off period for political groups before they spend money to support the campaigns of their former leaders. Lewis' proposal is a jab at his Republican opponent Ryan Zinke of Whitefish. Zinke resigned as chairman of an independent expenditure-only committee, also called a super PAC, just weeks before announcing his candidacy. Special Operations for America has since spent more than $252,500 in support of Zinke and against one of his Republican primary opponents. Lewis proposed today extending to super PACs the rules that require a waiting period before members of Congress can become lobbyists. Zinke campaign spokeswoman Shelby DeMars says there is no relationship between Zinke and Sofa PAC, and that Lewis' proposal is simply rhetoric.
A judge has rejected the Montana Senate Majority Leader's attempt to dismiss charges that his campaign took illegal contributions and coordinated with a conservative group. District Judge Jeffrey Sherlock ruled yesterday that the case against Senator Art Wittig can go on. Commissioner of Political Practices Jonathan Modell filed a civil complaint earlier this year alleging the Bozeman Republican violated campaign finance laws in his dealing with Western Tradition Partnership in 2010. If Sherlock upholds Modell's findings, Wittig could be removed from office as a candidate in November's election. Wittig says he did nothing wrong. He argues Modell's complaint should have been filed in Gallatin County because that's where he signed his campaign finance reports. Sherlock struck down that argument, saying the offense would only occur when the commission received reports in Lewis and Clark County.
A March 18th trial date has been set in Missoula's effort to take over the water company that serves its residents. The Missoulian Report's District Judge Karen Townsend set the trial date yesterday during the first court hearing in City of Missoula versus Mountain Water Company and Carlisle Infrastructure Partners. She says she expects the trial to run for 10 days. The city seeks to condemn the water utility and force the global investment firm to sell it to the city. If the condemnation is approved, three appointed commissioners would determine a fair price.
A timber company is planning to log and subdivide portions of its 39,000 acres of private land in northern Idaho. That's part of a stalled exchange of public land. Western Pacific Timber Company, spokesman Andy Haas tells the Lewiston Tribune in a story today that the company has signed a contract with the Montana Company to log near Moses Lake in the upper Clearwater Basin. The company has been working with the U.S. Forest Service to swap land, but the plan has run into opposition amid concerns about loss of access for the public. The deal involves a combination of purchasing and trading public land to obtain the 39,000 acres owned by the timber company. The timber company land includes habitat for threatened steelhead and bull trout.
Plum Creek Timber Company officials say they hope to return the company's fiberboard plant in Columbia Falls to full production this week, about a month after an explosion and fire shut it down. Tom Ray is a Plum Creek vice president. Ray says the plant started its number two production line a week ago. The line, built in 2001, manufactures fiberboard that's 1/10 of an inch thick. Crews were still working to return the number one line to full production. It produces fiberboard up to 1 1/4 inches thick.
Last Monday, we restarted line two, which is our thinner board line, and it's been running well since then. And we're getting ready this week to begin testing and hopefully restart by the end of the week line one, which is the original line that produces the thicker board. Still doing a lot of electrical work, rewiring some of the conduit that was burnt. We're putting in some new electric motors that shorted out, and just doing some overall testing of the system to make sure everything is operational.
A bearing failure on a raw material feed line triggered a series of explosions in the ductwork of the plant on June 10th, starting a large fire.
That led to an overheating of the ductwork above that belt, which caused an explosion inside the ductwork that then traveled into the plant. The majority of the damage was on the outside of the mill. Inside, principally, we just had water damage from the fire suppression efforts, but most of the damage was right on the outside area of where the infeed line comes into the mill.
No one was injured. The plant has about 180 employees.
It's July, it's getting hot, and the forecast is calling for very warm temperatures by week's end. It's with this in mind that the Missoula County Fire Protection Association has restricted open burning as of today. Burning permits for Missoula County cannot be activated until this restriction is lifted. MCFPA Chairman Matt Hall says the hot, dry weather for the past week, combined with the forecast for more of the same for at least another week, will continue to dry out fuels. Missoula County's fire danger is currently listed as moderate.
We're going to see some pretty high temps, close to 100 potentially by the end of the week, so we'll reassess Monday with the Missoula County Fire Protection Association. So we are bumping up there. It is summertime in western Montana, and so we are getting into fire season. So, yeah, just be aware when you're out recreating in Montana.
Hall says people who have already burned this spring should go check their piles to be doubly safe.
It's just like checking a campfire to make sure that that's cold to the touch when you leave it, is to mix and stir, and then with the back of your hand, just get it down in there to make sure that there's no heat left in there.
Campfires are still permitted at this time.
A large-scale conservation project to restore genetically pure West Slope cutthroat trout in northwestern Montana is nearing the finish line. The project encompasses the South Fork of the Flathead River system. Katrin Fry reports biologists have been targeting mountain lakes above the Hungry Horse Reservoir and including the Bob Marshall Wilderness.
3 of 21 lakes remain for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to treat as part of the South Fork West Slope Cutthroat Trout Project. Fisheries biologist Matt Boyer says this September they'll be working on Kessler Lake in the Bob Marshall Wilderness. This lake they'll be treating with a poison called rotenone and restocking with genetically pure West Slope cutthroat trout.
So the South Fork Flathead is a stronghold for West Slope cutthroat trout, Montana state fish, and it represents about half of what's remaining in terms of genetically pure interconnected populations for that species.
This project started in 2007. Boyer says the list of 21 lakes they've been working through were all historically fishless because they sit above barrier falls and were stocked with fish, like rainbow trout, to create a recreational fishery.
And that was really during a time period or an era where there wasn't the awareness for native fish conservation that there is today. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks began sampling these lakes in the late 80s, actually mid to late 80s, and genetic analysis of those lakes indicated that they were non-native trout and hybridization was spreading downstream.
Downstream is the West Slope stronghold of the South Fork of the Flathead River. Boyer says multiple studies show problems with a hybridized species.
Some people might say, well, who cares? Fish is a fish and it still tugs on the end of the line when I'm out there angling. But there's a lot of theoretical data and empirical data from other species that indicates that there can be harmful biological effects as a result of hybridization.
Boyer says over time a local species has adapted to live in a particular locale. Those adaptations are written into its genetic code. He says this has allowed the West Slope cutthroat trout to persist through wildfires, winter floods, and more, and that fitness gets diluted through hybridization.
The genome of the West Slope cutthroat trout, as well as other species, has allowed them to persist on the landscape for tens of thousands of years. Here in the Flathead, certainly since the last ice age.
Boyer says for restocking, they've been using local sources. He says the state's brood stock in Anaconda comprises trout from multiple populations, many from the South Fork of the Flathead.
But what we're doing is taking a step further and saying, okay, where are populations that have not contributed genes to that population within the South Fork Flathead, use them as your donor source, and then you've just conserved additional genetic variation for that species in the drainage.
Boyer says in addition to rotenone treatment, they've also been swamping certain lakes with genetically pure West Slope cutthroat trout, where hybridization gets reduced through successive reproduction with the influx of genetically pure trout. He says this project has broader implications for other conservation projects, particularly concerning the use of rotenone.
Pre- and post-treatment monitoring of the amphibians and the insects has indicated that those species they're back. And, of course, if they weren't, that would be entirely counterproductive because it just damaged or had lasting effect on, you know, the prey base, the source of food for the very species you're trying to conserve.
Boyer says 12 of the 21 lakes have been treated with rotenone, and the final three lakes will be treated with rotenone as well. Kessler and Sunburst Lakes in the Bob Marshall Wilderness, and Handkerchief Lake above Hungry Horse Reservoir. The project is slated to wrap up by 2016. Catherine Fryett reporting from the Flathead.
An Oregon congressman is asking the Interior Department to work with states to curb gray wolf hunting around Yellowstone National Park. Representative Peter DeFazio is the ranking Democrat on the House Natural Resources Committee. He said in a letter to the Interior Secretary, Sally Jewell, that hunters killing wolves just outside the park's boundary could hurt the overall health of the park's ecosystem. DeFazio is asking for a wolf safety zone or buffer around the park, which includes parts of Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho. He also asked Jewell to establish a task force to devise protections for wolves around other national parks. State officials have resisted prior calls for the wildlife advocates seeking an outright ban on wolf hunting around the park. However, quotas in some areas limit how many can be killed annually.
Members of the Montana Organizing Project gathered with protest signs in front of a Walgreens in Missoula today to voice their opposition to the drugstore giant's consideration to move its headquarters to Switzerland. In a process known as corporate inversion, companies looking to lower their tax rates can reincorporate with foreign companies in countries with lower tax rates while still maintaining a large part of their business in the U.S. The Montana Organizing Project is a nonprofit, nonpartisan group based in Billings that includes community, faith, and labor organizations from around the state. They focus on affecting economic policies for lower and middle-income families. Senior organizer Sheena Rice considers this potential move a form of tax dodging.
Sadly, it's not illegal, so it's not a crime. It's allowed under the law, but they do it to increase their profits and decrease their what their shareholders and the CEOs make. They do it on purpose to get out of paying their fair share of taxes. So, yeah, we do say tax dodger with a negative connotation because we're trying to call them out for not paying their fair share of taxes like everyday Montanans, everyday Americans pay, like small business owners across the country pay.
According to a report released in June by a national organization called Americans for Tax Fairness, the U.S. government would receive $4 billion less tax revenue over a five-year period if Walgreens shareholders approved the change. The report also says the Walgreens company receives nearly $17 billion a year from Medicare and Medicaid, which are government-subsidized programs. It's unclear how much of that suggested $4 billion loss in national tax revenue would affect government programs for Montanans. Missoula Area Central Labor Council President Mark Anderlich says the protest is part of a national movement to call attention to the move before the Walgreens company announces their decision by the end of August.
Big unethical corporations like Walgreens can be seem to get all kinds of breaks and all kinds of consideration from Washington, D.C., but the small business person, you know, down here on Brooks, okay, they can't flee their tax obligation and go to some, you know, to some foreign country. Okay, so this is about fairness, this is about ethics, and it is about morality. And that's why the shaming part at this point, Walgreens would be perfectly legal, you know, to do this, but it's still wrong.
The Chicago-based company is the most profitable drug retailer in the U.S., with $72 billion in sales the last year. The local Walgreens management did not immediately respond to Montana Public Radio's request for comment regarding the protest.
And now for tonight's forecast. West of the Divide this evening, it's mostly clear, lows in the upper 40s to mid-50s. Wednesday looks partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 80s to mid-90s. In central Montana tonight, it's mostly cloudy with lows in the upper 50s. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with highs in the 80s. In southwest Montana tonight looks mostly clear, lows in 50 to 55. On Wednesday, expect increasing clouds with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon and highs in the 80s. And now for the editorial comments of Pat Williams.
Thank you. Say, do you remember all the concern about the ozone hole? It was first noticed about 40 years ago as a thinning of a layer of our atmosphere. It was caused by chemical processes used on the Earth, emitting from aerosol propellants and air conditioning units chemicals that were depleting the ozone. That layer is important in our atmosphere because it absorbs the sun's UV rays. In 1987, virtually all the world's nations signed an agreement to eliminate or reduce the use of those chemicals that were causing the problem. And it is working. Far from solved, but the important point is, it is really working. The United States Congress passed the Endangered Species Act about 40 years ago. The effort to recover threatened and endangered species and their habitat has been extraordinarily important and has experienced some dramatic success. 2,000 animals and plants worldwide were identified as going extinct. But today, 40 years later, we have lost only 1% of those animals and plants. While we have saved the Canadian goose, crocodiles, whooping cranes, the gray wolf, the bald eagle, and around the world, the giant pandas, condors, snow leopards, lowland gorillas, and so many other animals and important plants as well. How? One of the major protective measures is the saving of wildlife habitat. And some conservation groups, along with federal and state governments, have set aside, purchased, protected, important habitat. It has been established that the most common causes of endangerment are loss of habitat, disease, and poaching. And frankly, poaching, illegal hunting and fishing, is a real problem right here at home in Montana. It is surprising to many people to hear that zoos throughout the world have taken an important role in protecting endangered animals. Zoos do more than simply display rare animals. Breeding and release projects have bolstered dwindling populations. Zoos have actively supported the protection of wildlife habitat. I know there are times when we feel despair about the health, the future of our environment, our planet. I feel it myself. But consider this. Success is all around us. From Montana's Clark Fork River to the Potomac in Washington, D.C., rivers, including those two, have been cleaned. The river that runs through us runs clean now. The air in our cities is considerably better than it was just during my youth. San Francisco Bay in the west and Cape Cod Bay in the east have been saved, as have hundreds of other waterways. So success is all around us. Don't despair. Keep working at it. This is Pat Williams. Thank you for listening.
Pat Williams is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Conrad Scheid.
And I'm Corin Cates Carney. Thanks for listening. And please join Edwin O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.